Right, so this learned the Leilui Nishmas Mendel Kaplan. I didn't catch Menachem Mendel, I forgot his father's name. Again, so we're holding the fifth parak of Maya Mishnah Dalid, and we had been speaking about up to now, in the last Mishnah, we talked about purchasing bread from a baker, a Nachtam, and the rules there. So now we're going to have other kinds of people from whom you could purchase produce from, and let's call bread, but it's not necessarily bread, and how to deal with the different hafrashos, yeah. The truth is the whole parak deals with different kinds of, like, what ifs. What if you got it from here? What if you found it like this? What if you want to do it the other way? What ifs with the mind? Okay, so parak hey, Mishnah Dalid. This is a palter. Gimel was a nachtom, a baker. This is a palter, which is like what's called in English, I call it a distributor, a middleman. Okay? So, a lokeach min a palter, if you buy from the palter, and the palter now, what he does is he gets from various suppliers, potentially, and sells it to other, let's say, retail shops. The question is, in those days, if you can assume that he has a single supplier for the day, or maybe there's multiple suppliers. So, Ma'aser mekol tfus utfus divrei Meir. But Meir says, each bread that looks different, you know, some of the breads look like they came from the same place, some look different. A tfus, remember, is like a mold. So, you know, if they look like they were made in the same mold, then you can assume they're from the same batch that came in, and therefore you can be miser one on the other. Okay? Yeah, we're together. Like, remember, the wheels are going up again. Rav Yehuda Omer, Mechar al Hakol. Rav Yehuda is more makel. Rav Yehuda says, listen, Rav Meir is afraid that if it looks different, maybe because it is different. Maybe, you know, the rye bread came from the rye bread supplier, and like the sourdough came from the sourdough supplier. Rav Yehuda says, people. A normal distributor, at least you can assume that on a given day all his supply came from a particular supplier. A particular distributor, we assume it's from one supplier. I guess that was, you know, the discussing the Matzias back then. Today, it just wouldn't have, the machlokas doesn't exist. It's a different world that we live in today. Okay?
In a way, it's logical because the food didn't last that long in those days. No refrigerator.
Right, but I'm saying, right. Yeah.
And the mold they're talking about could be the other kind of mold.
No, that's not, definitely not that mold, oh, right? Definitely the mold is...
By the color.
Yeah. But mold review, yeah.
This thing, tfus, can you explain it clearly?
Tfus means like, let's just, like a, tfus could mean like a dye. It just doesn't mean a dye in this context. Tfus, I think av tfus, with the defus, the dollar is how they say it in modern Hebrew, like a printing, but it means like, you know, it looks like one single stamp, way. They all look the same. You know, they're like clones of one another. You know, when you go to the bakery, you have these kind of breads on that shelf and those kind of breads on the other shelf. So if it's these kinds of breads, they all look like they came the same way. So you assume it's from the same supplier. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Me'echar ala kol. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can assume that whatever the distributor gets from a given day, it's all from the same supplier, and therefore you could take a miser of frushes from one on the others. Yeah? Okay. Rabbi Yehuda belokech min an manpol, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees. If you buy it from a manpol, you can imagine that's a Greek word from the word, like we have monopoly. From this, the manpol is the you know, he's got a corner of the market where everything clears through him and goes out through him. So now you got everyone supplying the same person. So shu ma'aser mikol echad ve'echad.
He's a real distributor.
So, well, there's different kinds of distributors. There's a small time distributor, and this guy who you know, everyone goes through him, or who wants to go through him, you know. Normally, yeah. Okay. So if he's a monpole, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees should ma'aser mekol echad ve'echad, that you should take on each and every one. What that is a little ambiguous. You should take separate hafrashos. Now the pashas is, even though the Rav doesn't say it here, that it means like in each and every tfus. Okay, each and every tfus, like each bread that looks different, it should be considered like a different batch potentially, but not as you might think, each and every loaf. I'm not afraid that far. That's what it seems, okay?
If you don't go through one man, why has he got to do individuals?
The fear is that the distributor is like, you know, he's stocking the local Makolets with their bread for the day. The fear is that he's two different bread suppliers are bringing bread to him, and then he's bringing that into the store. So if you buy two different breads, and you assume that they came from two different suppliers, maybe one of the suppliers took hafrashes and one didn't take hafrashes.
So concerned with the retail person.
Well, we're concerned, you're the consumer,
we're concerned that... Because he
Yeah, we're concerned. The consumer ultimately has to be worried about where this wheat originated from. Because if it originated from two different sources, the possibility is that one of the Amaretz farmers did the hafrashas and one didn't. And you can't. This is the key thing,
which is
clear.
So which one is a concern, but the end user is probably the most concerned because it will change hands in
the farm. Right, we're only about the end user. We're only concerned with, as you buy the bread, what do you have to be worried about? And this whole parak is going to be like doing one on the other, being mafresh one on behalf of the other. These are simple, it's going to get a little more complicated, so these are rules. So now, halach mishnah hey is a continuation on here, halokech mina ani. Here you're getting from the ani. Remember, the ani is supplied by whoever the heck they go to for the day, and it could be 100 people, right? So if you purchase from an ani his food, v'chen ha'ani should not know lo prusos, if either you bought from the ani, or v'chen ha'ani should not know lo prusos pas, if an ani gives to you, I don't know, you're a guest in his house, and he gives you pieces of bread, or pilche de vela, or like, you know, chunks of pressed figs, ma'aser mekol echad ve'echad. You have to hear ma'aser mekol echad ve'echad means like each and every piece. You need to carve out a piece for afrasha.
What's like, prusos?
Prusa is like a loaf, like a slice of bread. Piece, slice. So we're afraid that the ani is going to be, every piece the ani, of food the ani has comes from a different person, and then each one has his own separate suffix. So you can't, if you get two pieces of bread, you can't take, you know, the trumas meiser for both pieces from a single piece.
Can you say that the ani himself is the patur?
Yeah, but you're not ani, you're eating. And you're the eating from the
ani. Patur,
though, isn't patur different? No. So you're getting from him, so you have to eat it now.
It's okay to eat, though.
Yeah, we said there's a bit of machlokas there. We said probably the ani should do it. It was a machlokas there. Definitely they're allowed to eat it, that's for sure. Question of what they should do. Okay, now, uba tamar mubugrogros. Okay, now, instead of pilche devela, like big chunks of pressed figs and pas, pieces of bread, you're getting tamar mubugrogros, like, let's call them like little dates and little grogos or dried figs. So now, what this Tana saying you can do is bolel v'notel. Bolel means like squish it up and mush it around, mix it all up, it's a big pile, and then jumble it, and then just assume it's like equally distributed the stuff, and therefore if you take on one of the big new mixed up mush mass, you can take the normal freshness of the single conglomerate and assume that it's, you know, magically, you exactly, you know, it's, you got the proper proportions out. Yeah?
By itself and go.
Yeah, each one by itself, yeah. Yeah. So now, I just point this out here. There's a big machlokas, which comes out a lot, like, you're right there, if you have a mixture that's called yavish b'yavish, which is this kind of case. Yavish b'yavish means dry things mixed with dry things, because you and I both know that there's a good chance that it didn't exactly get mixed up perfectly precise, right? And only God will know exactly, but there's a good chance that you didn't pull, if, for argument's sake, you know, 6 out of the 10 pieces that came in needed to get a freshness, and you jumble off. There's a reasonable chance to assume that exactly 60% of what you pull off the freshness isn't going to be from those, exactly those 6 out of those 10, right? Who says? It's going to work out exactly right. But there's a machlokas, a mixture of yavish b'yavish, if that works to make it be homogenous enough that you can then assume that it's mixed up when you take off Russia, you get a pro rata amount of what shouldn't be taken. Machlokas is called bila. The machlokas im yesh bila, if there's such thing as mixing up and, you know, making a homogenous of yavish b'yavish. Okay, it's a big machlokas. Our Tana goes like Rav Shimon Shazuri, who says that there is, but okay, there isn't. We'll see more in a little while about that. But
he's using that word, bolel.
Yeah, well, bolel, yeah, but yeah.
That's bila.
Yeah, so we're going like Rav Shimon Shazuri, the yesh bila yavish b'yavish. That's a technical term. But I'm saying we're going with that Tana who says it works. Okay, it becomes in, yeah.
Fine. If you think of the actual article itself, where you join them together, you can join them in such a way that you take that piece which you've joined together. Not so difficult.
Well, we're here's what we're just want to explain. We're assuming you got 100 dates in, and from, let's say, from 10 different people, 10 gave you each. In fact, the mission is going to continue on. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, I'll explain, but I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Amosai, when does this apply? Even according to the one who holds you could do it. Bizman shamatana maruba, when the gift is a lot. What that means is that everyone gave an equal lot amount. I know you're going to come back and review this, you're going to say that's not what it says. Maruba means that everyone gave an equally large amounts. Aval b'zman she'amatana mu'etas, if the gifts are small, meaning if some of the gifts are smaller than other gifts, then ma'as b'kol echad ve'echad, then you can't mix them up because then there's no reason to assume it'll be equally distributed. But here's the assumption. The assumption is you got in 10 people each gave you 100 dates. So you have 1,000 dates, right? And each, you need to take, let's just throw up, just Trumas Meiser, you need to get one date out of each of the 10 gifts, okay? So we're assuming if you jumble them all up and you pull out 10 dates, so the chances are if 6 out of 10 people didn't do proper refreshes, 6 of the 10 dates you pull out will be dates that came from those people in the refreshes. Take the fresh on those, it'll work out. But you can obviously hear how that may not work. Yeah, but that's a machlokas if we're allowed to do that. And we're going with that time that you could do it. But even Rabbi Yehuda is explaining that's only the case when they're all equally large. Everyone gave 100 dates. Because obviously, just thinking it through for a second, if 9 people gave 100 dates, one person gave 1 date, and perhaps that guy didn't do it as a freshest, and you take the 901 dates and jumble them up, and it's like winning the lottery. Of the 10 dates you pull out, or the 9.01 dates you pull out, one of them has to be that very date from that very, which who says it's going to be. So, okay. Fine.
But their Borer kicks in.
So there's the question if... I don't want to get to more than putting that machlokas on the table. It's a complicated world. Lach b'lach is different. Lach b'lach means... Lach b'lach, it means liquids. But if everyone gave you a gallon of wine, then and you mix it up, so now it's much more intuitive for us to see here, and that's lach b'lach, everyone agrees. You can have, it'll work out that you'll get the right percentages, because it's obviously homogeneously gets mixed up. It's homogeneous. You mix up the grape juice and it all gets equally distributed. Okay. Good. The halachas of Rove and Safek, like when you learn Smicha in Yoredeya, like, you know, things get mixed up with other things, the makoros start in Demai, largely. Many of the makoros start in Demai. This is, and you can see, it's going to get quite, like, mathematical and statistical as we get on to the end of the... You'll see. Okay. Fine. Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Vav. Halokeach min asiton. Here you're buying from a wholesaler. And he, you know, everyone gives to him, and he sells. You buy from him directly, okay? And all the farmers in town give it to him, so you know it's a mess, right? V'chazer v'lakach meno shnia, and you buy from him a second time. Lo ya'aser mezelze, even like the same day, every batch you buy from him has to be. You have to assume it's his own unique package. Who knows? You know, we're assuming the assumption is being made here that. In one batch that you buy it from, we're assuming it all came from the same source. That's an assumption given. I don't know exactly what gives them the right to assume that. But,
excuse me, who are we buying from this one?
You buy from a single wholesaler. What we call our grocery stores today. You know, if you buy bread off the shelves, like who says it all comes from Berman's or Angel's? Everyone in town supplies their bread, and you don't know which is which. I know in our, maybe they mark it up, but if they didn't, some's from Angel's, some's from Berman, and some's from Yale, and who knows what? This is this guy over here. So every time you come in, you know which you know baker has subsequently come every 5 minutes ago and brought a new supply and restocked the shelves ongoing. So each time you buy, you can assume that particular batch you bought all came from one farmer. But after that, like a minute later, the next batch you buy in, obviously if you didn't see anything, then once your eyes have left the place and anything could have happened, it's like a new batch. A filuma also sug. Even if you're buying something that looks like came from the same box. Same container, right? Sug means type, but the Mefarshim say either came from the same section of the warehouse or came from the same, you know, vat, bin where they kept. I feel them also mean, even if it's the same kind of bread, it looks exactly the same. Looks the same, came from the same place. No, you could never know what happened behind the scenes because the wholesaler gets everyone coming in, so yeah, each package is its own package and you have to meister each one in its own way, as the mine. V'ne'eman ha'siton nomar, but the siton, the amar and siton, is believed to say, Mishel echad hem, he's believed to say they all came from one particular supplier. The bread you bought today and the bread you bought, you know, yesterday, came from the same source. The reason why it's believed is, like, keep on saying, the amaratim aren't assumed to be liars. They're just assumed to not know what they're doing when it comes to afrashas.
And he's not making money off of it.
That's right. That's
but
right.
If they have many suppliers, though, why do you make that assumption?
Because he's telling you.
If he has like 20 suppliers, how can he keep
contract that yesterday if,
and because he's not going to lie, he's aware of Kasha's laws, he's not going to lie to you.
But then he's easily going to accept though. Not that he's going to lie, but
so we don't assume Amaratim are stupid. We don't. He knows if he could get mixed up, but he should say, I don't know, I lost track. Wouldn't you say that? If he tells you, I know, it's not mixed up, I run this place an orderly way, that shelf is from that supply, and that shelf is that supply, and I'm telling you, that shelf that you bought, it's all from the same one, you can believe him. We don't distrust people. There's no element here of mistrust. Right? Interestingly enough, the Torah basically puts exceptional trust on people. Two guys come and say something, we'll execute on behalf of their testimony. We don't assume that they're liars. We assume people are honest. So the mistrust here of the Amaratim throughout this Masechta aren't that they're liars. It's just that they just don't know the details of Afrashas properly, and therefore they are well-meaning but botch it. So here, if the Siton says, I'm telling you, it's from one supplier, you can believe him. Okay. Again, just to make it clear, the Lumbus, he's not speaking about whether or not the tithes were taken. That we wouldn't trust him on. If he tells you, I swear, up and down, left and right, you know, that I tithe it myself, that's not going to work. We're not going to trust him. But if he tells you, I swear I came from the same supplier, he knows his business. Why shouldn't we believe him?
Everyone was known for serious, being very serious and maestros. Can you assume that? Do you still have to take?
Yeah, either, no. Every no. If the guy is known as a Ne'eman, remember we said if he committed to be a Ne'eman, and then he's known to be a Ne'eman, mm-hmm. You could buy from him. Like we do. Like that's what we do. We buy the Hechsher. You know, people are Ne'eman today. But this person didn't take a formal commitment to take a freshness. Or maybe he's even, remember, we saw that the Siton actually, if you're sending a big amount, you're allowed to sell.
Was the Siton responsible for Meisters, or are the people he's buying from responsible?
We saw it depends on what way in which he sells and so, and the way in which the site, but even if he has the patur and it's not on his responsibility to do the freshness. And even if he did, either way, it doesn't really matter. If he's an Amma Arts and he's obligated to take the Meisters, so still, when you buy it as a Ne'eman, you have to mafresh it again, right? Out of not trusting him. Okay, fine. But here we're speaking about good Mishazayin. Now, the last of these kind of cases here, you're buying from a private person. This guy has his own little, cart at the corner of the street, and he's selling stuff. Halokeach m'bal habayis. If you buy from the guy who, it's his stuff. It's his produce. And then you go back and buy from a second time, either bread or even, I don't know, we're going to end up talking about Yerakos here, vegetables, so I don't know.
This is the farmer,
the guy. I mean, everyone was a farmer back then, basically. But you happen to be not. You're a basket weaver. And you go buy from your local guy, and he tells you, these tomatoes came from my garden. Then you go back the next day or 5 minutes later, whenever it is, and you buy more tomatoes from him. Right? Maaser mizeh alzeh. You're allowed to be mafresh one another. From the same person, we're never afraid that he's going to have different practices. Either he did be mafresh everything, and you're treating it as demai, and it's all, klepe shmaya from heaven's sake already tithed, or really he didn't. But either way, we assume that the same guy has the same practice every day with the stuff. A filo mishtei kupos, even if he has two, different batches, two different sections, you assume it's all the same. A filo mishtei yaros, even if he's getting his supplies from his farms in two different cities. Over here he has his tomato farm, and back in in Yerushalayim he has his cucumber farm. You can assume that, or I guess that's a bad example. He has another tomato farm over there, and there's Jerusalem tomatoes, and these are Beit Shemesh tomatoes. Even so, it's not a problem. You can tie the one to the next. We assume same owner does the same practice in both. However, Balabayas Shahaya Mocher Yarak Bashuk, if a Balabayas is now, he's selling it in the Shuk. Bizmanch Mevian Lo Miginosav, if they're bringing to him, to his storefront from his own Gina, his own farm, garden, Ma'asar Me'echar Alakol, then you can rely on it, one on everything. However, Miginosacheros, if it's coming in from different locations to him, now we're afraid that maybe the people on this farm and that farm they're bringing to him, selling, they came from two different places, then Maasim Kolechad Ve'echad. I mean, the truth is, all these halachas are, once the principle is clear, they're all just logical, right? We're applying the same logic the whole way through.
Something that's not clear to me is that if he's considered an Amma'ar, so what does it make a difference on?
Because you can't. No, so this is a good question I want to make. This point has to be clear for the whole paragraph. It's gonna get a little more complicated right away. If you have two batches of Demai from different sources, then you can't take Hafrashas from one on the other. Okay, and let me now we get the board up because now it's gonna. That's the key thing you have to know. You have to get this paragraph. Because up to now it hasn't been relevant. Now I have that thing. Okay.
You can't combine them.
Okay, we're just going to talk about, for the illustration purposes, Trumas Meister getting 1% out of each, okay? Each of these have 100 whatever's in it. 100 ounces of wine. Okay, and they're both Demai. This is Demai Aleph, meaning it's from a source Aleph, and this is Demai Bet. It's from a different source. Two different farmers. Different farms. What it's saying is, and let's say God knows, but we don't know this, that really, this is the... That's my skeleton Demai. This really is Tevel. Tevel, meaning untied. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be skull. What are the crossbones over here? You like that? Okay. So right, and this really, God knows, but this is really tied. Okay, but we don't know. We have no idea. Okay. So here's what it's saying. Here's the issue. This is the issue of the parent. You can't take two portions here and say this one's for this bet and this one is for this one over here. You can't take it from here because look what would happen. Really, what
this
you're doing...
This case would be okay.
No, well, you're going to have a separate problem, which the Mishnah will show in a second, but the problem is now, this thing you call Truma, or Truma's Miser, actually is nothing of the sort. It's just regular old untithed food. So you've taken it out, now the Kohen's going to have to tithe it. Mm-hmm. This is going to become poison for the Kohen. So you're going to feed him the Kohen this piece. You're saying you're calling this Truma. You're giving him untithed food and calling it Truma. He's going to eat it. Bad news. Yeah, so you can't, he's here, but you can't do that. This one will be okay because you said this is for this portion. So it becomes normal Truma's Meiser. This you give as a Kohen saying it's Truma's Meiser from this batch. It's not true. This batch had no Truma's Meiser to take. You think you're calling it Truma's Meiser. You're taking food out of this, and the 1 ounce of wine you're giving him from this pile is really just regular Tevel, and you're poisoning the Kohen. No good. And the same would go this way, it's not going to work. Instead of taking from that, like take from here. So the one you call from here, right? You say I'm taking the Demai, the Truma's Meiser from this Demai batch from here. The problem, this is already in the Sukkah, so it's not able to receive that Truma's Meiser. Too late. Right? So what happens is you think you've cautioned this, but you haven't. Now when you eat it, it's still the poison there.
But in the first case, why is the Truma's Meiser not good?
Because you're going to take, in the first case, I want to say this is Mishnah, so
the Truma's Meiser has to be from the first.
We're calling this is from Aleph. This is the Truma's Meiser for Aleph batch. This is Truma's Meiser from base batch. So the Aleph batch, right, you say, actually the base first. So you take the Truma's Meiser from the base batch first, this piece over here, good. So you did it right. This was untithed, you tithe it, you give your 10% here, and the one that's next to it, you pull it off, all good. But this one over here, you're saying this piece of Truma's Meiser, but remember you're going to have like the Shah Meiser Samachlo, the 10 pieces, and this is going to be the one, like you learned in the previous pair. You say, this piece I'm giving to my Kohen, because it's the Truma's Meiser from this batch. But the problem is this batch didn't have any Truma in it, and any Truma's Meiser didn't need to be taken from it. So you're calling this, you're saying, this is now my tithe from this, on behalf of this food, and now Kohen, you can eat it, it's Truma's Meiser. It's Suffolk Truma's Meiser, right? But the truth is not Suffolk Truma's Meiser. From God's eyes, there was no Truma here at all, no Truma's Meiser to be taken. So this piece of food didn't receive anything on it. All it is you took a piece of Tevel, and you gave it to the Kohen, calling it Truma's Meiser. That's really Tevel.
Why is it Tevel? Have you already taken the Truma?
Well, I guess it depends which order you take it from.
You said base first.
I know, but I called it Aleph for a reason. But then I said base first, which would be more intuitive. But yeah, you're right. If you take Aleph first, it's not going to work. If you take base first, you'd be okay. But you don't know. You don't know which is which. Remember, it could be. You don't know which is Aleph, which is base of these two. You don't know anything. So I'm saying, if you luckily tied this batch first, you'd be okay. If you didn't, then you'll be in big trouble. There's no way to know.
And if they're both untied, then it would also work perfectly, wouldn't it?
If what? Both untied. Yeah, if they're both untied, it's going to be fine. And if they're both tied, it's going to be fine.
So it's not necessarily a problem, just very well could be.
Right. There are always going to be three possibilities. That one is Demai, one isn't, or both are, both aren't. The only problem is going to be if one is and one isn't. We just don't know. Okay, now...
For the rest of that, though.
where you have like different suppliers and all that.
See, so you, what?
Then what, you can understand what the issue is. If
let's go inside and I'll show you. One at a time. With each one by itself. This is the principle going to happen here. But this is, here we go. Okay. Mishnah Ches. Now this, for a second here, this is Tevel. Mishnah Ches is just setting, like, this is confusing. It's setting up the principle one at a time. So, the first case in Ches is very straightforward. You're buying Tevel.
Can I just go back one second?
Yeah.
With Zion, it's still not clear to me. With Zion, though, you have the Balabai. So everything, like, I mean, if he's an Amaharis, then you just have to do the from everything.
Yeah, with the Balabais, we say there's no such thing as Aleph and Beis. With the Balabais, all of his tomatoes are either all untied or all tied. We don't know which.
But
we don't see on Mondays and tied, Tuesdays and
untied. But you're going on the assumption it's untied. That's why he's an Amaharis.
Yes.
And you're saying that, so you have to do a...
Yeah.
You have to do the fresh one for everything.
And everything, but you, since in his world there's no, it's either all this or all this, so the drawing really looks like, if I can just conceptually draw it here, really it looks like, oops, sorry, I should do it there. Either it looks like this, that A and that B, or it looks like this, that A and that B. We just don't know if it's all tithe or all untithe.
Right, but the assumption is he's an Amaharis.
So you'll have to take
so
a tithe.
Then you have to take tithe. So why doesn't matter?
Because we're telling you, and then when it comes to Balabai, you're allowed to take from this half two things. One for A and one for B. Because it doesn't matter. Either it's all tithe, in which case it's all kosher beforehand, or it was all untithe, and so fine. Now you take the fashas for both and you give it to the Kohen, not a problem. The other case is the fear was, do we have to consider it as like this situation, both either tithe or untithe, or do we have to worry that some of the, like you buy from the monopoly, you're buying from the, right, the wholesaler, Siton, so maybe, you know, this bread you bought is from here and this bread you bought is from here. That's the fear. Okay, now, the case, Ches is straightforward. Halakech tevel mishnei makomos. You buy vadai tevel. So you got skull and crossbones on both batches. Okay? So, maaser mizel zeh. It's not a problem. You can do hafrashas on one another. Right? It's just not a problem because they're equally chayev, so you can take a double portion of one on the other, put them together, and zeh. Afal pi she'amru en adam rashai limkor tevel el letzorach. Even though the rabbi said you're not allowed to sell tevel el letzorach, except for a good reason, let's call it, which I'll explain in a second. So this last part of the Mishnah is just simply saying, like, the rabbis aren't sanctioning selling tevel. They're saying if you bought tevel for whatever reason, maybe because the guy you buy from is just a bad guy, right? This happens if you go to your local shuk in Tel Aviv. Ask straight out. Did he take off rushes? He looked like you're crazy. So you're buying it anyways. So you're allowed to not take off rushes. Okay. Or as it says here, the rabbi said you're not allowed to sell tevel unless litzorach, unless it was a certain need. What could that need be? So the bartender brings a need. For example, one here says that listen. What if what happened is. Okay, think clearly here. If what happens is you had your bucket of wine and some that was tithed properly, and then some demai wine falls into it. Now what are you gonna do? It's all mixed up together. So you don't know what to do. Or your grapes. Forget wine. Better example is your grapes. Yeah, so now some demai grapes fell in the grape pile. So now what are you gonna do? There's no way to know if you can pull the right grapes out. So what do you do? So there, we're allowing you, out of no choice in the matter, to go buy more of that demai and mix it all up, and then you have like, and then you can, sorry, not mix it up, make, pull out, sorry, buy tevel. So you don't, the demai filling, you don't know what to do, right? Or for that matter, even tevel filling, and you don't know what to do, right? So what you do is you buy some vadai tevel, put them all together, and you say, you know, if this, wherever the tevel is sitting in this mixture, I want to take from this batch that's certainly chayv in tevel, it's portion out. You get it? So for those 100 grapes that fell in, I'll take one grape from here. Or it's tevel, whatever it'll be. One grape of meiser, two grapes of meiser, and then the meiser, yeah, and so on.
That, as long as you know that one you're actually taking is tevel, right? Like,
you're mixing it up. Okay, I didn't explain as clearly as I should have. I could have. Let me explain one more time. Starting again. Not so complicated. I didn't think through before I started speaking exactly how it looks like. Made it not clear. Here's the case here. Yeah, okay, so what happened is you have a grape, bucket full of grapes, for argument's sake, and some grapes that are untied fall inside. Now you're stuck. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have some certainly untithed produce and certainly tithed produce. Don't know which is which. So you're just stuck. Can't give it to Cohen. He can't eat it either. So what are you going to do? You're going to buy some Vaday Tevel. And you're, for argument's sake, if for argument's sake, 100, you know that 100 grapes that were Tevel fell inside here. Tevel grapes are in here somewhere mixed in. You're going to buy now another, let's say, for argument's sake, another 100 grapes that are Vaday Tevel. Another 100 Tevel. And you're going to say, instead of taking, you know, 2 grapes of Truma here, you're going to take 4 grapes of Truma. 2 from here, and 2 for the 2 that are missing somewhere in this batch, wherever the heck they are. Yeah? You get it? So that, and so on and so forth. So you would take 2 Truma for here, and 2 Truma for there. And then same for Meiser, and Truma's Meiser. That's all it's saying. So you're buying the Tevel, and you're saying whatever the Tevel is hidden in this big mixture, let it go into this batch. That you could do, because it's Tevel and Tevel.
Why do you have to buy another 100? Why can't you buy
50
or
30? You know, I was just making the number very simple. All you need is enough.
Why can't you just take it to
30? Because maybe you're pulling grapes that are. Because remember, it's 100 Tevel, and for argument's sake, there's 900 Chulin that are already okay as is. So you can pull the grapes, I don't know which grape you're pulling out. Maybe you're pulling a Chulin grape out.
So you buy more
to put them together to say wherever the heck those tevel are in this mixture, well, I'm taking the kedusha from that batch from this batch.
Yeah, it's like a magic thing.
Well, what's the magic about it?
What are you saying?
Well, you know in this big basket. I'm not putting in a big basket just for conceptual purpose. Doesn't need to be in this basket. You know for sure you have, right? You know you have 200 tevel grapes. So you'll have to take, you know, 2% of that to give us the truma, and then 10% of that. Whenever you have that, if l'chadchil you had, you know, 100 and 100, you could just take it all from one. It's not a problem. You know, no one goes to each and every basket and start taking truma out. On the whole collection, you do it. So you make a collection. So that's why you're buying the tzorach. You're buying varay tevel so you can make a single basket that has.
So you're saying that it works, so therefore when some guy comes along and takes it out from that basket now, you can give the kohen, doesn't matter what he gives the kohen, automatically it's okay.
He's going to say all the kohen's food is in this basket. In the example here we have 100 and 100, so you have 2% to 200 is 4, right? So you're going to say all 4 of the kohen's truma is coming from this basket. Right, because the kohen can't eat from here because we don't know what the heck, we don't know what's in there.
You've just done this thing here, you've given it from here,
okay, yes.
Why can't you just...
Oh, what you've done, it's kohen, you can eat it too.
Too.
Anyone good. It's not truma food, that's the point. You owe these 4 to the kohen. And if you eat them, you have visa your mime and yada yada. So this yeah. Okay. So now, if you're buying now Mishnah Ches, you're buying I'm sorry, Mishnah
Ches.
Yeah, Mishnah Ches. Okay. So I'm saying it again. Mishnah Ches, I'll say it one more time here. Alokeach tevel mishnei makomos. If you buy tevel from 2 different places that are vaday tevel, maaser mezel zeh. It's not a problem to do one and the other because they're both equally for sure chayev because it's tevel, not demai. Afo pisha amru. Even though the rabbi said ein adam rashai limkor tevel el tzorach. Even though the rabbi said you can't sell tevel, but if someone did, then you're allowed to take hafrashes from one on the other, and then. The only time the rabbis let people sell tevel is litzorech, for a need, and I gave an example of the need, the example the Rav gives, which is, you need vaday tevel so you can get yourself out of the suffix. Yeah, we're together?
Okay. Can you use your own tevel?
Yeah, if it's vaday. It's pretty good.
You don't have to buy it.
Yeah, we're just giving an example of when it would be permissible to sell tevel, because you need it for that reason. And by the way, and the Tosafot Yom Tov says, oh, and by the way, you only can sell, as the seller, you only have to sell vaday tevel to a chaver. Look at the Rav, read it, he actually says, like, you rent a chaver to do this for you. That's how it puts it, basically. But, because you have to be afraid that you're selling tevel, they'll eat it. Remember, if you're not allowed to sell to an Amar, it's on tithe food. Really a Neman, but it says chaver. But Neman. Yeah. Okay. Good. Mishnah Tess.
How does any person be conscious of Tumah and Tahara? It's got nothing to do with
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Although oftentimes they conflate the two terms, like, you know, like you get a good guy. But, correct.
When they say Heva, they mean a Neman.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Even a Neman would be good enough. That's right. You know what? I'm making that up, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. I didn't see anybody speak that out. But I don't see why. I'm just speaking out that I'm saying it from my own svara. I didn't see that inside anywhere. But I think it's just lav dafka chaver. It means like you get a kosher person to come do it for you. Okay. Good. Okay, Mishnah Tess. Now, this is also straight. This is also relatively straightforward. We're notching up the complexity one mission at a time here. Here we say Ma'asra Mishal Yisrael Al Shal Nofri. We're saying here, the two batches came, one from a Yisrael and one from a Nochri. Okay? Now, we're not demying yet here, okay? We're assuming it's all Tevel, okay? So we're saying that we can equally assume that a Yisrael and Nochri are reliable. So you buy Vadai Tevel from a Yisrael and you buy Vadai Tevel from a Nochri, a Nochri non-Jew, you're allowed to Masa one and the other.
That's the assumption that the Nochri is higher.
That's right. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. It jumps around. It's all over the place. If a non-Jew's ownership in Eretz Yisrael exempts that land from its produce being obligated in Afrashas, okay? We're going like Reb Meir says that it doesn't like this. It was like Reb Meir.
Are Reb okay? Jews allowed to own land in Israel?
You're not supposed to sell to them. But if they did.
So if they, but if they
Hetzer
own,
Mechira.
But if they own a fruit tree, the fruit tree is not Hefker?
No, not Hefker. So they can own it. They can own it. Sure they can own it. Sure they can own it. So there's a Machlokas, and Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon disagree, and they say a non-Jew's ownership of Eretz Yisrael will exempt that produce from Hafrashas. But we're not going, we're going like Reb Meir. We're going in the world of Reb Meir, that the non-Jew's ownership doesn't exempt them from Maestras, so they're equally obligated. Okay? There's no, fine. Michelle Nachri, Al Shal Yisrael. And the same goes in reverse, because we'll speak out, remember we spoke about the lack of symmetry, in that first example, the skull and crossbones, depends on which one you took from. Depends if you took from a chayiv or a putter, the two different consequences, which the Mishnayos will speak it out, but without going into the details yet, you can do it either way. Either take on the Jews' batch on the Jews and the non-Jews' batch, or take from the non-Jews' batch on the Jews and the non-Jews' batch. And similarly, Mishi Yisrael Al Shal Kusim. Same goes for Yisrael and a Kusi. Remember the Kusim again, top of the Mishnayos are these like dubious Jews. Now the thing about Kusim is that they didn't take the oral law too seriously. So the potential problem here is that Kusim were strict about Afrashas, the Torah says it. So they would never eat something that isn't tithed, right? They would never. But the prohibition of selling on someone else untithed food, what's the prohibition there? The prohibition is lifnei iver losita michshal. You can't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. And they didn't take that verse seriously. Oh, they didn't take it. They took it literally. They said it means no making blind people trip. They didn't have a problem with tricking the public. You know, so that was their public's problem. Buy beware. So the issue here, the potential issue is, if you bought it from a kusi, and he bought it originally for himself, you might have thought, and we'll see that there's Rabbi Eliezer, Oster, Michel Kusim. I'm sorry. So and also the rabbis say Michel Kusim, Al Shal Kusim. Similarly, you can tithe if you buy two different batches of two different kusim. You can tithe one and the other, not a problem. Rabbi Eliezer, Oster, he doesn't let you do that. Michel Kusim, Al Shal Kusim. He doesn't let you tithe one kusi on another kusi, and as we'll speak in a second, or a kusi in Yisrael, because he's afraid like this. He's afraid that the original of the kusi bought it for himself, thinking he's going to eat it. And he took the afrashas. And then he said, oh no, I'm going to sell it. So he actually is selling tithe produce on. But you're assuming it's untithe, like the stuff you bought from the Yisrael. So you can't. So that's a little far-fetched, and the rabbis aren't afraid for that. But Rabbi Eliezer is afraid for that. So he says the kusi stuff is a separate package of demai, because each kusi either did or didn't. You just don't know. You can't assume that he's definitely taking afrashas, or definitely not taking afrashas. So even though here the Mishnah only says he forbids one kusi for another kusi, because perhaps this kusi did and this kusi didn't take afrashas, it's like a kol v'chomer, or I don't know, it's equally. It's not unspoken out for the same svara that you couldn't take from a kusi al Yisrael, an Yisrael al kusi, because again, the Yisrael is vaday tevel, and the kusi, who knows what he is.